Today, the UK economy is delicately placed. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is Post covering finance and property news. Well, the Bank of England, alongside other central banks, say they are being data dependent as they try to balance interest rates, inflation, growth and employment. So the latest data from the UK ONS revealed that the UK economy has delivered its strongest quarterly growth in more than a year. A surprising show of resilience that will keep pressure on the Bank of England to raise rates further to generate more weakness to bring inflation down in line with its forecasts. The Bank of England is concerned that the economy's pace, while sluggish by historical standards, is still fanning upward pressure on wages and prices. And while inflation has edged lower from last year's high, it remains more than triple the Bank of England's 2% target. Gross domestic product rose 0.2% from the first quarter. That's the biggest increase since the start of 2022, according to the Office of National Statistics. The Bank of England expected a 0.1% expansion. An output in June jumped 0.5%. That's more than double the 0.2% pace expected by economists. Manufacturing and construction output were both stronger than expected in June, rebounding from the loss of a working day in May for King Charles III's coronation. The figures point to momentum in the economy that's likely to fan upward pressure on wages and prices, underpinning the case for more rate hikes. Consumer spending during the quarter rose 0.7%. That's the biggest quarterly increase in more than a year. And business investment climbed 3.4%, a similar pace to the previous quarter. There was also a strong increase in government spending. Together, these factors offset a drag from net trade as the volume of imports outpaced exports. The better-than-expected GDP figures are likely to galvanise the Bank of England's zeal to continue to raise interest rates, said David Baker, partner at Mazars. The bank will remain very concerned about the persistence of inflation and will reflect on near-term full employment and high wage inflation as reasons to keep policy tight. Now, looking at some of the granularity, in output terms, the services sector grew by 0.1% on the quarter, driven by increases in information and communications, accommodation and food services activities, and human health and social work activities. Elsewhere, the production sector grew by 0.7%, with a 1.6% growth in manufacturing. In expenditure terms, there was strong growth in household consumption and government consumption, which was partially offset by a fall in international trade flows in the second quarter. Compared with the same quarter a year ago, the implied GDP deflator rose by 6.7%. That follows growth of 6.5% in the previous quarter, and that largely reflects a fall in the implied price of imports, which contributes positively to the implied GDP deflator. This is an encouraging set of data, said Kitty Usher, chief economist at the Institute of Directors. There was decent growth in both retail and manufacturing. As a result, the pound rose against the dollar to 1.27, rebounding from a one-week low. The money markets firmed wagers on monetary policy tightening, putting the chance of a quarter point increase next month at almost 90% from 80% earlier. A half point hike still remains priced in by March of next year. UK bonds fell, snapping a three-day run of gains and raising the 10-year to 4.945%. That's the highest since Monday. And the FTSE was down 1% in early trading. Now, it's worth remembering that the UK remains the only group of seven countries that has yet to fully recover from the pandemic, with output last quarter 0.2% below its level at the end of 2019. We're laying the strong foundations needed to grow the economy, Chancellor of the Exchequer Jeremy Hunt said in a statement. The Bank of England is now forecasting that we will avoid recession, and if we stick to our plan to help people into work and boost business investment. The second quarter saw a series of disruptions, with output in April rebounding from widespread strikes the month before, and GDP shrank 0.1% in May due to the extra public holiday for the King's coronation. While the BOE expects a more meaningful expansion in the third quarter, many economists are more pessimistic, citing a sharp loss of momentum signaled by recent purchasing manager surveys. The UK economy remains in a precarious place, said David Baher, chief of research at the British Chamber of Commerce, businesses are continuing to face a worrying mix of high inflation, rising interest rates, a tight labour market, and global economic uncertainty. In fact, economists are split on the outlook, with some predicting a year-long recession starting at the end of 2023. While shallow in historic terms, the downturn would keep GDP below the 2019 levels until 2026. Others are less pessimistic. We expect the UK to avoid a recession both this year and next, said Paula Bajaria Carbo, an economist at the National Institute of Economic and Social Research. Living standards are expected to receive a boost as inflation drops below the pace of wages growth, and for many, however, many benefits will likely be swallowed up by more expensive home loans and rents. Millions of households are facing a severe shock as they are forced to refinance fixed-rate mortgages at significantly higher rates. There's a continued risk here that we will see policy failures and that the rate hikes will be too much, said Charles White Thompson, Chief Executive Officer at Saxo Markets UK. So you can see here just how precarious things are. And of course, some of those externalities, including maybe the price of gas and oil, could also have a bearing here. But at the moment, the UK continues to be data dependent and the data is, well, slightly mixed. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.